This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh my good Lord. Oh my God. Let me let my North Carolina out real quick. I am plumb excited to be here with good Judy. You're listening to the one and only RuPaul's Drag Race Recap podcast, available to you on the internet. I know there seems like there's so many, but there aren't. I am Mono Agapian, and I am gagged to be in welcoming the Elephant Queen, the Diva. You fell in love with her on 3 different seasons of Drag Race. It's Eureka O'Hara!
Hey, baby. Hi, kids. Big hey. Mama is in the house, honey.
Children! Yeah. Eureka, I am so excited. I have a million things to say. Let's just start by saying We Are Here is coming out this Friday, November 25th, and I can't wait to see the first episode.
It's going to be amazing. I think people are really going to be shocked at just how important it is and how relevant it is right now more than ever. Mm-hmm. With everything going on, sadly. But, you know, it's also just, girl, without Drag Race, I wouldn't be who I am today. And I love that we're talking about it on the Drag Race Recap page. And just so many elements to what we're doing right now in this moment is so exciting for me. So I'm excited to talk with you today.
It is. I agree. I just had Layla on. I just had Layla McQueen on recently. And I'm so excited. I know she's beating Bob's mug usually. Do you have someone beat your mug, or do you do your own?
No, so I have a makeup artist because honestly, what you learn is when you're on set, it takes such an added stress off of you when you have a makeup artist to like make sure your makeup's good when you're in these all-terrain, you know, conditions. So like we'll be in the middle of like a town in the summertime, sweating to death, like running up the side of a mountain, trying to climb rocks and shit in full drag. So it's hard for us to touch ourselves up in the middle of nowhere. So having someone physically on hand to make sure we're kept together is what keeps us so fierce.
Isn't it so cool that you like you're like obviously like you come into the public eye being a star, but like becoming more of a star, you get those things you deserved all along. You know what I mean? You're getting that treatment that you deserved all along, but now you've like really earned it. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's really validating to what I've done, how hard I've worked, because I have worked my fucking fat ass off. I've actually started losing weight to prove it, you know, because All-Star 6, I was at my biggest after the pandemic. You know, it was a really hard time for all of us.
Really? Yeah. But how was your experience? I mean, you've done the show 3 times. We love to see you on the show. How was it doing it this last time?
Well, the third season has just been, you know, there's so many words that are coming to my mind, but I guess I'll just say incredible, life-changing for me. You know, but I've also implemented and changed a lot of things and habits about my life, you know. Right before we started filming season 3, I actually had a 45-day stint in rehab where I cleansed my spirit and my body and my nose and my belly from alcohol. And
I was reading about that. Good for you. Congrats.
Yeah. But mostly therapeutically too. You know, I didn't realize how much childhood trauma and so many things that were still, I was suffering with, I guess, that I had never really addressed in my adult life that was really hindering me from succeeding and being able to focus, you know. And I lost my mother and my grandmother, which were the two women that, you know, they were there for me when the rest of the world was against me growing up in East Tennessee, you know, and they supported me and defended me. And when I lost them, it was like I didn't have anyone to show off to anymore, I guess, or like make proud. So it was like, what am I doing this all for? And I just went to a really dark place, you know. And but luckily I had some, I found the Big Mama Spirit, which I just released a song called Big Mama.
Available on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find good music.
That's my girl, honey. You already know. And it was inspired by those people that showed up for me in my life. And it's mostly a song that's inspired by my mother and my grandmother and like these powerful, strong, big women, but also how that Big Mama Spirit lives in all of us. And sometimes we don't have moms or dads. Sometimes it's uncles or aunts or friends. You know, they're those people for us. And I still have that spirit within me too. You know, so you'll have to check it out. It's a really fun bop. And
we'll put the link in the podcast description. So click below wherever you're listening.
Thank you.
Get into it. I can't wait.
It's featuring, real quick, I just want to mention Katie Caden from The Voice and Sarah Potenza from The Voice of America's Got Talent are also featured on the song. So it's, you know, three powerful feminine presences and voices. And, you know, I actually use my natural voice. I don't do camp drag for this song at all. So it's actually like what would be considered probably my cisgender male voice, which I was really afraid of for a long time because it's so masculine. I really celebrate in the song too, which is really fun for me. But just a side note.
I know. I love that. I mean, you bring that up. I mean, obviously, I follow you online and you are stunning. I have a million questions, but I love watching you play in gender expression. Like, I feel like you've been doing that more and more lately.
Yeah. You know, I have found myself in the last year of my life and working on We're Here, you know, asking how season three went for me. It was life changing. I worked with one of my daughters on the show. And it kind of became a situation where the student became the teacher.
Wow.
And I just saw my life projected in front of me working with this person. She was a trans woman named Mandy. And I can't wait for the world to see it. But that's all I'm going to say for now, just because I really want people to like learn
the
my
full story.
And I'm
going to
tell
here.
My story. Yeah. And I want to tell my story when I'm ready.
Cool.
I'm kind of taking some time to like prepare myself and just exist before I'm ready to like answer questions.
Does that make sense? I love that work. I mean, I love that.
Thank you.
Life is long. Life is long. You got time, girl.
You know what? And as long and as short as life is, you're not wrong, you know, because I'm 32 years old and hopefully I live much longer. And if I don't, at least I did it to the best of my ability,
you
know, and with us losing queer lives lately, it's just, it puts things into perspective. Just take one day at a time, you know, and do it your way.
It has been so gutting. Obviously these losses, it's been so gutting. We don't have to dwell on it, but I want to remember those we lost. And I want to say, I'm remembering the strength of those who stood up. I think it's so funny and poetic that like the people who were mocked for being quote unquote feminine or pansies are the one who stopped someone doing something so violent. I think that's something that says something so beautiful about our queer community.
Well, I don't know if it's beautiful or if it's just the truth. We've been defending ourselves since we could, you know, walk and sashay into a room in kindergarten. As soon as the parents started making comments about us as queer kids, as soon as we heard, oh my God, your kid's going to be gay. Before we even knew what gay was, we were labeled and picked at by adults who we're supposed to be learning from. And we do. And a lot of times these children, these people learn that discrimination and that hate and that misunderstanding. That uneducation. Oh, don't get me on my soapbox.
I'm with you. I can't. I look back on it, and I don't even. I don't even realize how unprotected I was. You know. Okay. So, did you go to school in Tennessee?
Did go to school in Tennessee, and I don't want to say anything shitty about our parents or anything. They didn't really know any better either.
Sure.
You know, because there's just not. There's never been any formatting or exposure set in place. You know. But luckily, I get to be part of a generation now, and mm-hmm. the younger generation even more than ever, which is queerer than ever, thank God, mm-hmm. That's noticing and taking action. And hopefully, you know, at some point we can make some serious strides before we're restricted even more. It just, things like Sunday happen, and mm-hmm. it makes me realize that we're vulnerable still.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me feel like sometimes we feel a little invincible, like we're unstoppable. And then next thing you know, one of my friends from North Carolina, Barrett, was one of the guys that got shot. Luckily, he didn't get killed in the Colorado situation that happened this last Sunday. But mm-hmm. that's someone that would come to my shows and drive me to my gigs, and I could have lost him.
And they'll be living with that trauma for the rest of their life.
It's just sad. And, you know, we work with someone on this season of We're Here that was there during the Pulse shooting. Mm-hmm. too, you know, and it's a very powerful story because he's afraid to go to these safe spaces now.
Yeah.
You know, so again,
it's a shame.
It is a shame. You know, I can run at the mouth. So you just talk over me when you need to.
Well, I just want to know, I'm with you. I just want to say I'm with you. I grew up in North Carolina. I also felt like there was no poster child for people like, protecting us or advocating for us. Like, I feel like I remember getting picked on and, you know, people just being like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. You're going to get picked on. Hi, listeners. Here to tell you about a very important organization called Al Otro Lado, which helps to reunify families which have been ripped apart due to our country's cruel border policies. As you know, since 2018, many people have been suffering through these policies, which have taken children away from their parents. And Al Otro Lado is working to reunify families. They've already reunified over 100 refugee families, and they create legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the United States and Tijuana. We want you to get involved today. Help me support Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode below, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. That's alotrolado.org/volunteer. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door, and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door. I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Have you seen that movie? Have you watched that movie on Netflix, Where the Crawdads Sing?
No, I don't think so.
So it's a really interesting, but it's based in North or South Carolina. I can't remember, but uh-huh. it's about this girl who gets left by her family, and she basically raises herself. Mm-hmm. And they try to pin a murder on her because she's so misunderstood by her community. Which, luckily, in the end, they find her not guilty, which shows the power of observation and the few that are supportive conquering the many. And it was just so relatable to what's happening now in our community, mm-hmm. because luckily, even though there are a lot of people that just are, they just don't know any better, you know, and once we get an opportunity to explain ourselves and help people understand that we're like them, that our intentions are not malice, I do think that their minds can be changed. I do think that they can better understand us if they ever get the opportunity to be educated on who we are, not just be sewn up in this idea of the fear tactic of who queer people are. You know, like we're predatorial, like we're trying to hurt their family or their moral code or their children. We don't want your kids.
Baby, we don't want your kids. Honey.
I was never molested at a drag show.
No.
But I was at church.
That's that's what everyone is. I'm like done. I'm done with it being like the one place we don't hurt you. You come to our places and hurt us. Like we can't even go in our stupid little gay bar and have our own fucking kiki. You have to come actively hurt us. You know what gay people aren't doing? Shooting up churches. They're not doing that.
No. You know, it's we fine. Barely show up to the church.
Yeah.
Because we don't feel loved. I remember being ostracized and abandoned by the people that I went to church with every day when Absolutely. I was growing up. When I came out of the closet, I was literally, you know, I wasn't banned from the church, but I was so mistreated that I didn't want to go. You know, my own best friend's parents would call my now that I look back on it, it's crazy, would call my personal cell phone at 15 years old, 16 years old, and be like, how dare you bring the devil within you inside my house, and you're a monster and you're going to hell, girl, damn. And like to my own personal phone. Mm-hmm. And I was so scared to show my mom because I knew my mom would go whoop their ass or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I even hid it from her because I was trying to save my friendship with my best friend mm-hmm. that was my childhood best friend. And then he literally wasn't allowed to talk to me. He talked to me one time, and the next day I came in the gym and he had welts all down his back where his father was beating the gay sin out of him. And I told on him, and then that really got him going. You know, I won't name names, but I'm just saying, you know, people can get really intense and crazy, but they truly believe these things. They convince themselves that what they're thinking is reality. And I'm just like, no, you need to be told differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
right. Like the gentleman who, like the unarmed veteran I'm just giving it for an example, right? That unarmed veteran who helped out in the bar was, you know, a straight gentleman who had a relationship with queer people and understood them on a deeper level. And it's like, we just, like you're saying, we can connect. We can build a bridge. It just takes a little bit of education and less of this rhetoric that reinforces people, quote unquote, defending their faith by, I don't know, killing people. It's blech.
Well, and it's just the fear tactic where it puts people in this fight or flight mode of like they feel like they have to protect themselves from us, which instills this fear and then anger, like maybe they were traumatized by someone in their past, but then it fuels their anger towards us because they don't know how to express who they are.
100%.
You know what I mean? Let's say the closeted boys, you know, a lot of times it's that situation. I think that's what kind of came to the surface after the Pulse incident.
That famous reverend years and years and years ago, I forget who it was, the famous reverend who was like got caught using like speed and GHB with a male prostitute, and he had spent his whole life preaching about how homosexuals are sin.
Well, and that's just because, and what I realized too this season on We're Here, even with my gender, was that the battle within oneself is so much more toxic and scary than fighting with the world. It's really true, and I've been there. I understand. That's how we can relate in a way.
Yeah, and we hide things from ourselves, like you were saying earlier. I agree with that. Like you hide shit from yourself where you thought you were laughing about it, and you look a little deeper and you're like, oh, the laughter was covering something.
Yeah, you think you're joking about it and letting it go, but really you're just burying it deep inside and kind of putting it into this pit of despair that you're going to climb into later and cuddle up with it.
Uh-huh. sometimes that we stick with what's comfortable, and sometimes those feelings are more comfortable than confronting them.
Sadly, yeah. You know, a lot of times.
You're just so good at it on We're Here. Keep going. You're so good at having those real moments with people on We're Here.
Well, I think it's just because I try to be honest with them and I try to be open. And, you know, this season more than ever, I was available and present, you know, processing some of my own shit. You know, working on We're Here, taking a look into people's lives and what they went through also helped me mirror back into my own existence and the way I was raised. And as I was giving these people advice, they always say, you know, you can give great advice, but you can't take it.
Right.
But I started taking my own advice and started processing things and going to therapy and talking to people and, you know, realizing that I might have some mental issues because of the things and the trauma that I've been through, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And those feelings are valid. Don't hide from them.
Isn't that wild when you start showing yourself the love you've been showing everyone else? Like, and why that? Girl, why is that hard? Why is that hard for us?
It's groundbreaking. Yeah. It's hard because we're told, well, you know, especially as queer people, we're taught from a very young age that there's something wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that us existing is wrong. Mm-hmm. So we're afraid of who we are. Mm-hmm. So we live in this realm of guilt for existing. Which is really sad, and it's a scary place to live.
I know.
And I don't want to live in guilt, and I don't want to live in guilt and fear. And you know, Nina Simone has a great quote that I get reminded of from Bob the Drag Queen often, which is about, you know, real freedom is letting go of fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Real freedom is letting go of fear. And when you think about it, that's real, you know, that's the truth. And I think even for these people that are misunderstanding who we are and fighting against us, I don't think that they're terrible people necessarily. I mean, I think they've done some shitty shit, but I think that they're just afraid.
Yeah.
I think at the root of it all, they're afraid, they're hurt, they're scared, and they're acting out.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they've been taught to react.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We've had to walk on eggshells and learn how to react in different ways.
And isn't it
funny? We were taught that.
Yeah. I was just going to say, it's Reverend, like, it's also going back to We're Here, like, with Reverend, your friend, the Reverend Craig Duke, I believe his name is, who was showing
love.
What
are your pronouns? I'm sorry, what are your pronouns?
Oh, mine? I use he, they.
He, they? Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Which do you prefer in this context? Because I was going to say, all right, mister, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I'm really comfortable with all pronouns, frankly. And you know,
what's your full name?
Monoagapian.
Monoagapian. What a name.
Thanks. Yeah.
That's a fucking show business name. Monoagapian.
Damn. You know, when you grow up with your name, you're just like, ugh, you roll your eyes at it. But
no, you have quite a radio DJ voice. You should definitely be doing this.
Oh my God. WXRPRPRP. Okay, I'm ready. I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here and we're here.
Amazing.
I just think it's so cool that, I mean, you did everything you could for the Reverend Craig Duke. That's all I want to say. And unfortunately, his own people turned their back on him, which I think is like really says a lot about those people not supporting each other and our community supporting people.
Well, his people is a really interesting way of saying that. I don't agree necessarily with the wording, just because his people were the people of that community, period. And there were a lot of people in that community, queer based specifically, that had fundraisers for him.
Mm-hmm.
They helped him and his family get back on their feet, raised over $50,000 because they were left homeless because he was living in the congregational home as the pastor for that church, his family, him and his wife and his daughter. And so he had dreams of starting like a queer inclusive camp that was Christian based and things like that, because he wasn't allowed to have those conversations at the camp he was working at. I literally wasn't even allowed to meet him at the camp he was working at the time because we were a queer based show.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's been able to explore those opportunities and use his voice in the spiritual realm for positivity towards queer people, which is really important because I think that's, especially for Southern queer people, that's where a lot of the root of that self-hatred comes from, is religion. you know.
Yeah. Work. Well said. Well said. Did I see you on Dancing with the Stars last night?
Yes.
Eureka. I was
with Team Shangi, honey. Me and LaGonja.
That was amazing.
Support. So yeah, it was the whole thing. So me and LaGonja were fully amazing. Like, thank you. So we were harassing Shangi, like, oh my God, we want to come support Final Nine. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to come and, you know, be there. Uh-huh. Well, she randomly decided, you know, half a week ago, maybe, she was like, oh, bitch, I want my sister. Y'all going to be there? You're going to be in this number because I'm bringing drag to Dance with the Stars.
I love, you know, it. It was a genius final piece. It was like, yeah. I played your game. Now I'm going to do my thing.
Yeah. And that, you know, honestly, it was such an amazing experience. You know, there was definitely some heteronormative energy there, but it was also nice to see so many people there that was rooting for Shangela. A lot of people in that heteronormative space that you wouldn't even, you know, like Selma Hyatt, so many people that were like, truly, you could tell, appreciating what Shangela was doing and enjoying it. And it was really beautiful to watch. Now, granted, there were some smirky faces here and there and some comments, you know.
What?
Well, it was, you know, it wasn't nothing too crazy. It's just, you know, when you're us, we can pick up on energy. And I was don't let me fool you. I was treated incredibly, you know.
Yes.
But I could sense the energy here and there with certain, you know, certain behind the scene type people, but there was so much love that it was clouded.
Got it.
You know?
I got it. Yeah.
And it was a beautiful experience. I don't know why I should have even said that, but it's the truth.
No, I'm with you. It's just something we live with every day.
Yeah, there's judgment in every space, you know, but the overwhelming support and love was what we were focused on. And she really powered through and wanted to do everything she could. And she invited me and her sister, LaGonja, to perform with her. And it was an honor, you know, and she was such... She's such an incredible person and professional anyway, that like, I had a full on allergy fit right before we went on stage, and I was like freaking out because my nose was running, my eyes was watering. I was just like, you know, I'm a spiritual person. So I prayed to my God, you know, and I was like, please, please, please let these, my nose dry up just for a moment. I just need 5 minutes. I just need 5 minutes in this thing. And sure enough, my eyes stopped watering and I was able to pump through, you know? And then I was like, LaGonja, sis, can I get a ride? I got to go. Girl, I'm going through it. My nose was running the whole way home, but you know what?
Damn.
We got through it. We pushed through.
And you still dropped into a split.
Oh yeah. Mama's back. I've been doing that vitamin song from Queen Herbie.
Okay.
Honey, I've been taking care of myself.
I don't know about this. Okay.
Well, it's a really fierce song. But no, since I got sober, you know, I've just, I also found out that I had diabetes, which is why I was like very laggish and I couldn't like get motivated because as soon as I would eat, my sugar levels were out of whack. And it was, so I thought that I needed, you know, alcohol and drugs and things to keep me going when really I needed a health checkup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not necessarily saying anyone's wrong for drinking and releasing and having fun. If you have control over what you're doing, enjoy yourself. But I was not in control for a moment. I was allowing myself to give in to the easiest outlet possible.
Yeah.
You know, instead of taking the time to put in the work to take care of myself. And it's really done wonders for me.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. And I'm flexible, bitch, back in a split, full force.
Oh my God. I was impressed too. He's clacking about. Today. Yeah. I know. Do you feel fine?
I'm not even sore or nothing.
Damn.
I'm a little tired, but yeah, my muscles ain't hurting. I was stretched out and ready. I was like, ooh, mama's back, honey. Watch out.
Well, since this episode of Drag Her is called Fuck My Drag, I want to ask you, fuck my drag, right? Fuck my drag. Tell me something. Tell me something you're obsessed with that has nothing to do with drag race, anything like that. It can be a current obsession, an always obsession.
Okay. Well, my current obsession is everything pink and, and home decorating. Like, I just got a house in Vegas and I'm like, ooh, obsessed congrats. With organizing and cleaning and like making an oasis home space for myself. Mm-hmm. It's so fun. And I'm also super obsessed with Charlize Theron.
She's amazing. She transforms.
She's also like been such a sweet, supportive person for me because, you know, one of her kids, Jackson, is non-binary.
Cool.
And of color. So she faces a lot of issues sometimes in that realm. And I think that she finds We're Here as a good show to like educate herself and also share that with her child where they can relate. And so she's been a very supportive person of our show too. Yeah. And I'm really just obsessed with some of the famous people that have been obsessed with We're Here. Like Cardi B posted about it last season. Nick Dodani from Atypical showed up. I can't remember what's his name from that was in the wheelchair from Glee. Brandon, maybe.
Yes. Divalintra. He was just on Celebrity Drag Race.
Celebrity Drag Race.
Kevin.
No, we can't talk
Kevin Hale. Oh, Kevin Hale.
Kevin. No, that's not his name.
Fuck.
Hold on. I'm Googling it, girl. Hold on.
Google.
y'all know
and while you
got
say that, while you...
in our hands. his name is Kevin McHale.
McHale. Okay, work.
Yes, mama.
Work. Okay, I love that. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me de-crap my brain. Because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go. Visit BetterHelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow. Well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, it's an I just need to repeat this because it is such a good show. There's no other show that makes me laugh and cry back to back to back to back like We're Here. Just every time.
You know, I love that. We try to take you through all the emotions, but also, like, this season, I think people are going to be shocked by we're here because we really focus on the root issues to educate, but also make it fun to watch. And we don't want it to just be a big cry fest. We definitely want you to pull at your heartstrings, but we also want you to understand that, like, we're also fun people and we're not trying to victimize ourselves. The rest of the world has already made us victims. We're trying to celebrate who we are. And I think that season three really showcases some empowering moments, which I think is going to have people like really rooting for people and themselves at the TV, which is the goal. You know, that's why we only did six episodes, so that we could really focus on these towns and go full force. And baby, when I tell you, we went balls to the wall this season.
And you're there for like 2 weeks at a time. So it's a lot of work for a single episode.
It is a lot of work, but you know, it's also a lot of elements that we're trying to put together. Like we come up with a cut, you know, me and my sisters, we have our own teams, designers, makeup, all that. We all produce our own show numbers and our children's show numbers. And we have to find out who these people are, what their story is. And we like to try to marry, you know, the performance with a part of what they're going through or what their experience has been so that this performance can also be like artistic, therapeutic expression. You know what I mean? Like it can represent something and they can, you know, leave a message or, you know, we try to go a little deeper route with drag, which is fun. You know, there's always that little nudge, nudge, hint, hint joke. But at the same time, sometimes it's just about the emotion that's emoted. And you'll really see that with one of Bob's kids. Like the first time ever we had a drag, Bob had one of her drag children perform by themselves.
Oh, cool.
Just them on stage, no one else. And it's one of the most powerful performances you will ever see. And it will make people understand, I think, a little better why we do drag.
I can't wait. I can't wait. Oh my God, we're here this Friday, November 25th. Get into that first episode and then keep watching every single week.
Thank you so much for showcasing our show.
And absolutely. I have some stupid questions for you before we go. In the grand tradition of Tyra Banks, I want to ask you some very dumb questions based on your name. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Here we go. Feel free to throw them at me. Eureka Oscara. What's your favorite spooky film?
I would say Leprechaun.
Yes, he's so funny and rude.
He's funny, but also, bitch, when I was growing up, I would literally have nightmares on St. Patrick's Day. I would wake my mom up. She slept in a waterbed, bless her heart, because I think that's what gave her back problems.
Oh, but, no. Yeah, they're not good.
They were not good for you. But I would wake her up by shaking her waterbed, just crying, because I was so afraid of that little leprechaun.
He's horrible looking.
And my mom loved scary movies, so every St. Patrick's Day, we watched leprechaun movies.
I love that. I mean, part three, I love. It's the one in Vegas. Obsessed. Oh,
the one in Vegas where he explodes her boobs and her lips and everything.
What are you talking about? That lady is incredible.
That was space. Camp.
It's really campy.
And Leprechaun in Space, I loved it because I wanted to be the princess so bad.
Yeah.
I thought she was so glamorous. And one of the sergeants does drag.
Yes.
In that movie.
Yeah. Yes. And then he comes out of a man's dick in that movie. Oh, it's amazing.
He does.
Yes.
Girl, they don't make camp like that no more.
They don't get it anymore. They don't get
that
it.
Is okay. Camp, girl. I might have to watch one of those just for fun.
But you don't. But yeah, don't give yourself any nightmares, though. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I might be okay now.
Eureka Oscara. What's your favorite piece of furniture? Okay.
Honestly, you say chair. I need a good, sturdy steel chair, to be honest. You know, I'm a big girl. I have broken 17 to 19 chairs in my life. I think I've kept count for the most part. don't give me foldable aluminum, plastic chair shit. Girl, if you see Eureka coming, find a chair with four legs and like steel reinforced. I'll never
forget.
Like
those director chairs that.
Oh, no.
Those.
Sometimes when I have my body on, I have fully collapsed a director's chair before on set. Shangela literally, she saw me last night before we were going on because we were waiting in the breezeway. And she said, Sissy, you want me to get you a different chair? And this bitch literally in her dance costume goes hunting and comes back with a normal chair. It's like a steel, like one of the lighting guy's chairs.
Legs.
Uh-huh. And it was like one of a normal short, like steel barred, and was like, "Here, sissy." And I was like, "Bitch, you know me too well." She said, "I saw that chair leaning, sissy. I knew you was uncomfortable because I was literally like hanging on by a cheek and a prayer on that director's chair."
I hate that shit.
Bitch.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, here, Eureka Oswera, what's your favorite cuss word?
I would say it's probably bitch. I love the word bitch. Being in total control of herself.
There you go.
Honey.
It can be fun. It can be mean.
Yeah, girl. It's so diverse. Mm-hmm. I love the term bitch.
Me too. Me too. Bitch! Okay, Eureka Ostera. What kind of guy makes you gawk?
You know, honestly, I like tall, skinny boys.
Oh, you love a Jack Skellington.
I like a Jack Skellington. I want them to be polar opposite for me because I'm tall and thicker than a Snicker. So I need them to be like tall and slick,
you know, like a Twix.
Yeah, like a Twix stick, honey. And I want them to be able to knot up with me like a knot, you know.
Yeah.
So that way I can like scoop them up and wrap them up, but yet they're still tall enough to like look me in the eyes. You know, and I like to also, because I'm a big mama spirit for sure. So I like to like make someone also feel safe because I'm a protector, you know, but I also like a little furry.
I love that you want someone different because we all know the gays date their twins all the time. It's so nice to date someone different.
No, I would never fuck myself. No. I love myself, but I would never fuck myself.
You don't want to fuck yourself. I think that's healthy. I think that means you're not an egomaniac.
No, girl, I'm not into it. I would be like, no, sis, we can be besties, but nah.
Yeah, nar. We'll break too many chairs together, babes. We can't do it.
No, bitch. Could you imagine? Girl, we can Netflix and chill.
Yeah, that part. So, okay, Yushika O'Hara, what drag trend are you currently obsessed with?
What drag trend am I currently obsessed with? That's a good question. You know, I don't know what the latest drag trends are just because I'm so obsessed with just like that old school high glam drag that like I never follow the trends. Because I'm always like trying to pay homage to like historical high glam, over the top buffoonery drag.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just that girl. I want shape.
I love it. You do it well.
I want shape. Girl, and I can tell you what trend I don't like.
Ooh, I like that. Tell me that.
Girl, I love y'all. And I know the skinny girls can get away with it. Uh-huh. But these big girls not wearing titties is a mess.
no, ma'am.
Don't, girl, if you're going to get up in the drag, it's just my opinion. You can do whatever kind of drag you want. But if you're a big girl, put some titties on. If you're going to have hip pads on, put titties on. If you ain't going to do no body at all, I get that more. But don't put all the effort in to have the ass and the hips and then have no titties on. That looks crazy. You look like an alien, bitch. I mean, if that's what you're going for, then cool. But I don't think that's what you're striving for, girl. You think you're cunt, bitch. I'm over here like, dude, you look crazy.
I love it. Do you have one good and faithful tit pad? Or you must have a bevy of tit options.
No, you know what's crazy? Is I have the same bra that is stuffed with polyfill that I've worn in drag since I was 20 years old.
Hell yeah.
And I just switched the polyfill out in it. And I'm obsessed with it. It is the jankiest, craziest. Like, the hooks are hanging on for dear life. But you can ask my assistant or anyone. I will not let go of this bra. It was the first bra my drag mother, Jacqueline St. James, ever gave me. Mm-hmm. And I ended up stuffing it because I wanted big titties like hers.
I love it. It
goes underneath all my other bras to give mama these big old to go tonsures, honey.
I love it. You need some reliable pieces in your drag closet because you're spending so much money on the new garments. You need something where you're making the coins back.
Girl, and these kids are not afraid to charge a bitch for a costume because I'm also big, My costumes range anywhere from $1,500 to $5,000
a piece.
Yowza. Each costume, bitch. You could buy yourself a used car for some of the drag I buy in this house.
Are you going back into your reserves at this point and just like, because if I was you, that's what I would be doing? Or are you continually making new shit?
I try to, but you know, with TV and social media, if you rewear shit all the time, bitch, people are not into it. Like, you can only rewear stuff so many times. You know, plus, it's also creating stuff as a part of the fun for me. And I invest a lot of what I make back into my art form. And I think that's what makes me different from a lot of people, because it takes a lot of money to make Eureka so fabulous. And I just, you know, and I choose to invest a lot into her to keep her fucking fabulous and keep showing up and wowing the kids, because I don't want anyone to ever expect what I'm going to turn out and look like.
You have been gagging us for many years now. Like, ever since season 9, you have been absolutely flooring us.
Thank you.
With what you can do with a drag look. That fucking houndstooth Raiden number is still burnt into my brain.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really gaggy. So thank you for repping and reminding people big is beautiful.
Girl, I had my corset was so fucking tight for that runway. I couldn't breathe a single second on that runway, but I didn't care.
I love those stiletto
boots. Yeah. I looked like I was a twig, bitch. But if I didn't have makeup on, my head would have been purple, I'm sure.
Do you remember that song? Stilettos, pumps in the club.
Oh,
yes!
Yeah,
yes. We rockin' stilettos, ho.
We rockin' stilettos, ho. We rockin' stilettos, ho. We rockin' stilettos, ho. I could literally talk to you forever. You are so funny.
I know. You are delightful. I adore you. Eureka, remind us where we can support you online and where we can watch We're Here.
Yeah, just make sure that you all are watching HBO for We're Here, and it will be streaming as well on HBO Max on November 25th. At 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and it will be available to stream anytime after that each week. There's also 2 seasons already out there, so if you all want to binge and catch up, you can if you all are late bloomers, but season 3 is going to be iconic. Also, all my social medias are at Eureka O'Hara. It's real easy, girl. Eureka like the vacuum cleaner. O'Hara like the Irish person I never met. Okay.
And also, all those links will be in the pod description, so click below.
Yes. And also, please support my new production company I just started called House of Queens. I'm hoping to produce some new content with some other sisters as well. We just produced my music video for Big Mama, which will be coming out December 22nd to line up with one of the episode releases for We're Here. And I just can't thank you enough for allowing me to be on your show today, baby.
Girl, you're amazing. Thank you so much for being here. If you like Dragger Podcast, follow us at Dragger Podcast and give us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast reviews. It helps keep the lights on. Till next time, let the music play.
Let the music play, but give them 5 stars, honey. Come on, 5 stars.
Come
on. 5 stars across the board.
5 across the board.
I love you. Bye, baby.
That was a HeadGum Original.